Welcome to part two, where Stephen and I discuss the importance of friends in music.
It's something, I think having friends who love music, and you've just mentioned your friends, it gives you such a bond.
Doesn't it? Yeah, it really does. It does. And a bond that lasts for years as well, if you can keep it that way. I'm like you, I'm a pretty neff guitarist, so I surround myself with talent. My mandolin player is excellent. He's a multi-instrumentalist, so I'm so pleased that he stays with me, you know. And it's not all bribery and corruption. He actually quite likes what we do as well. Yeah. Going through the album here, as we go through, there's one called The Trap. This intrigued me. It was kind of like... And I hope I've got this right. You're drinking at a bar and you get approached by a strange woman who wants to kind of trap you or try and pull you. Tell me about The Trap, because I love it. In fact, tell me about it after. Let's have a little listen to this now. This is called The Trap. I like this. I love those lyrics, Stephen. Really good. So, is this... Tell me about The Trap, because I'm intrigued, if you can.
I made up that you said it's about the woman trapping.
Maybe. Absolutely, it sounds like that, yeah.
Yeah, but it's actually the other way around.
Oh, is it?
Because, yeah, it's based on... there's a seminal piece of work on psychopathy by a fellow called Shirkley in the 1950s. He wrote it. It's called The Mask of Sanity, and... The trap is being set by the man.
Oh, really?
He's feeding off the lady's empathy.
Ah.
Right at the very end, she realises that and says, you know, you don't deserve love. And it goes back to what people who have that condition, unfortunately, feel, is they feel about themselves, ultimately, they don't deserve love. So it's actually him who set the trap.
Wow. I'm blown away by that. That's a great... Because I did hear that at the end, you know, you don't deserve love, but I thought it was some kind of weird, you know, sarcasm twist towards the end there. But now I understand. That's a great song. You do write some fantastic lyrics. Do they just... Are you one of these songwriters that is quite prolific and these things just keep popping into your head?
I'm very prolific. I quite often get told that... I'm a bit robotic in my own, in normal life. I think all my emotion comes through music.
Right, that's a good thing.
So yeah. I'm quite a passionate individual, but I express it through music. I mightn't be telling my partner that I love her, but I'm writing songs about loving her.
I know, that's a very tricky situation, because not quite now, but in the past, in my first wife, I've had songs that I've written about things, and she's going, who's that about? Is it about you? Is it about me? You know, well, yeah, of course it is. No. And probably like you, Stephen, I will say, look, it's about nobody. It's just a song, okay? It's in my head. Don't worry about it, you know, that's all you can do. But I love this album, and I hope it's going to be successful for you. I'm sure it will be. We'll talk a little bit more. I'm a bit time conscious because our bandwidth runs out, but Virginia sings, didn't she, on this? She adds her lovely vocals to it, and that's on track 8, I believe, which is a lovely track. I think we ought to, you know, as Virginia's on it, just have a little quick look at that. Samantha McCann, let's have a little listen to this.
Your father says that you
Ah, lovely. That is really nice. I love that, Steve. And your voices do complement each other really nicely. They really do. It fits in beautifully there. I love that.
I changed my voice for hair because her voice is so beautiful. And I phrase like hair when I'm singing alongside her because she knows what she's doing. So she's a brilliant songwriter.
Oh, totally and utterly. Yeah, I've had loads of long interviews with her. In fact, over the years, I've interviewed a lot of people and about songwriting, because being a songwriter myself, I loved getting into the ins and outs of songwriting, which is why I was so interested in this album of yours, because I think it's brilliantly written. And it was kind of... Well, there's only ever been a couple of occasions where we've had to split the interview into two or three parts because we haven't had the bandwidth on the website. One was Ralph McTell, when I spoke to him about his life and songwriting, and the other one was Virginia Kettle. So, who knows, this one might be the same if we keep going on. Suppose we ought to crack on. It's a lovely album. And tell me, what are you going to do with it from here? Will you go and do some gigs and tour this, will you? Or is it quite a difficult thing to do because of the people in it, etc.? It must be quite a hard thing to put together.
I haven't. The last time I properly gigged, believe it or not, was 1993. I went on tour with the Waxy War. Loved it. But I haven't had a chance to sort of play live. I haven't had the chance to play with musicians in the studio, but, you know, not live. And then the other day, me and John done open mic night in the Cavern Pub on Matthew Street.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He told me about this. Well, I think...
I've got the bug. Yeah. I've got the bug.
Yeah, so good, good. That's right.
I will be getting a band together.
Oh, mate, that'd be brilliant.
I will be taught.
That'd be brilliant. Because this particular album, I mean, if you could, even if you could just play, you know, three or four tracks from this at... maybe even a Mary Hell gig, because they'll all be there. Maybe you could slot in something along those lines, and as a little special feature in the middle would be a good start, I think. Because I'm sure people are going to buy this, and we'll let them know where to get this. But it would be lovely to see you out playing that old Stratocaster that you was playing in the studio. If I'm right, was it a Stratocaster you was playing?
Yeah.
I heard that.
I play. Lots of different things because I love my guitars. I can see all your guitars
hanging up. Yeah.
I've got far too many guitars.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Funny, once you start buying them, you end up with a whole room full of them. My bass guitarist has got 22 basses. Wow. He only ever plays three of them. I don't know what that's all about. We're nearly out of time. I'm just going to play the last track on the album, which is really good. It's called Time Is Quicker Than Me, and that's where we're against the clock a little bit talking to you here, Stephen, but this is a lovely. Tell tales of a left hook that sailed fast as lightning. Of fights on the cobbles and losers who hobbled his tears. He says it's easy to see time is tougher than me, it's relentless. Fights on the cobbles. Ah, it's a beautiful song. I love your writing, Stephen. I love the feel of this album. It's really good. So where can people get hold of it and get it in their system and play it to death?
Well, it'll be sold at the folk festivals, because I know Damien, the manager, has got a load of copies. So
Yeah, good.
There'll be other merchandise around it. So there's some of the artwork is put on some T-shirts. It'll be there, and obviously it's you can stream it if need be. I'm just thinking about putting it on vinyl, because I've had some discussion about vinyl, and vinyl is still, it's one of the biggest selling increases in sales.
Yeah.
And people are loving the vinyl now. Yeah. And I think the artwork on this album is worthy of that.
It would be fantastic. It would make a brilliant vinyl album. I only hope and wish that they would bring the vinyl costs down a little bit, because I think it's quite expensive medium. I talk to a lot of bands to get it on, but it's so worth it when you get that big gatefold and the artwork. And so it's like that, yeah. Stephen, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for being here. It's been a great album and I really do love it. As I said before, I love the feel of it all the way through. I love the music. I love the way you wrote it, actually. The writing of it's brilliant, and obviously coupled with John Kettle of Virginia makes it a huge thing. How are you feeling about it? Are you happy with the album so far? Are you happy with everything that's gone on in it? Are you happy with its success?
I'm really happy that John Kettle said he's very proud of it, because I have so much respect for him. So I'm delighted with the album, delighted with what we've achieved. Van Gogh said art is the work for the sake of work, so I think it's a piece of art.
Oh, that's very true. And I'm sure loads and loads of people are going to pick up on this. You know that Damien's going to be around all the festivals pushing this out. And they can get it from Damien. They just need to approach Sleepless, I think it is, isn't it, that can do the album for you. Anywhere else? Is it in the shops? Are you pushing it through outlets at all?
It's on all the streaming sites. It's also going to be sold on Amazon. We're putting it up on Bandcamp. I just need to do a bit of work. I'm a typical artist. I do the art and then don't want to do the work afterwards.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So look on all the streaming services.
Yeah.
For Minstrels of the Wasteland, Blue Nose B is where you'll find it, under the name of Blue Nose B. Or you can always contact Damien, and that's an email of damien@sleeplessmusicservices.co.uk, and Damien will always point you in the right direction. Mate, it's been a pleasure. Lovely talking to you. Good luck with everything else you do. And I think we should just leave with Walk Out the Door as a track to leave on. Thanks for talking to me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's been a delight.
Cheers. Thank you. See you later. What a pleasure it was to talk to Stephen there. Blue Nose B, great album. Thanks for listening, and look back for more little podcasts with me, Paul Johnson, on folkin.com.